Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Goblin.
Good evening. Charlie Green, Neil Paul, Judy Paul, all the Midnight Misfits, plus special features that are remarkable. Tonight, for you, weather, Dr. Dave.
Sterling on Sunday. Coming up,
Dan and Becky Gaffney here, where packing for a vacation has been a two-month event.
For me.
I'll do mine the night before. We're only going to be gone 3 days.
Right, so all you need is one pair of underwear.
Tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Human trafficking bust. Holland, Connecticut. Details later. Strippers on the loose. Sterling at night.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari, and on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of the NYPD cop who failed to disclose his trip to Jamaica and subsequent arrest that came back to bite him in the butt. Coming up in moments.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
I'm Van Busta Thurston, and this is the usual edition from Public Radio. The nominees are in again for inclusion in the Rock Hall of Fame. This year, they finally included the fifth Beatle, Dionne Warwick, but the list is still incomplete. Where is Barry Manilow, Hanson, and the Association? I would really like to see Taylor Hanson on that stage. Yum. But the most glaring omission is...
I love myself. I want you to love me. And I feel down. I want you to love
music from A Tiny Desk. The Divinyls. Has any group been so neglected by John Sykes and John Venner than the Divinyls? The lyrics alone. I want you to define me. I want you to find me. Take that, Taylor. And the memorable, I don't fall for anybody else. Rock Hall now. I'm Van Busta Thurston for Public Radio's Usual Edition.
I'm so touched by these incredible production elements.
Do you realize that because of you, this city is being overrun by baboons?
Well, isn't that the fault of the voters?
Why don't women NBA players have breasts? Why don't any of them have breasts? Why doesn't Kate the glue? Are they glued down? I don't get it. Why don't any of them have breasts? Your calls now.
On Sunday, love call. 888-688-9259. Call. 888-688-WALT.
I did show prep. Unlike many hosts who just wing it. I don't dare wing it because after 12 minutes, I've completely run out of things to say. Therefore, I do show prep. And I started to look up why don't women basketball players have breasts. And I thought maybe they are bound. Maybe they're in a sports bra. There's a great deal of our show, a great amount of time of our show is dedicated to sports bras. But I thought, what is it that would prevent them from having happy breasts? And I found the word training bra, and I was taken aback to many years ago. there were certain words that young men discover that have enormous power in our lives. And one of them is the phrase training bra. And I thought, what do they train? And I thought, is this what WNBA players wear? Then I remembered other words that were very powerful, including bloomers. More on this in just seconds. Sterling every night.
Sterling on Sunday. Inspired by the words of Steve Harvey.
Okay, you want truth? This is why men lie. Because we are afraid of your reaction to the truth.
It's a live radio show, coast to coast. I'm Walter M. Sterling. The name of this show is Sterling on Sunday. But soon it's going to be changed to Sterling every damn night as we drive across 90, 80, and 70. Long-distance truckers, this is your show because I'm live. Everything else on the radio is pre-recorded. No, really. And we're going to get back in just seconds to our discussion of training bras and bloomers. But I just got a signal. It's a Sunday, and these signals only come on Sundays. I just got a signal from heaven that Rush Limbaugh is in heaven. And Rush Limbaugh has agreed to speak to us from heaven. Rush, God bless you. Thank you for joining the radio church today. Good evening, sir.
Well, my friend, it is great to be on with you as well. Anytime that Walter Sterling says, can you come on to the show? They say, yes, my friends, we can do this. And we just beam the signal. Hello, my friend. How are you, Mike?
I know that you always said when you were mortal that your talent was on loan from God. Have you returned the talent to God?
Well, of course, my friends. I have returned the talent to God and said, disperse this amongst those who are trying to replace me. He has done that, by the way.
Is it possible to replace you, Rush Limbaugh?
Well, it will be very difficult, my friends. It's almost like trying to replace Dennis Franz on NYPD Blue. You couldn't do it. There is only one Andy Sipowicz. There's only one Rush Limbaugh. But there, we will try to move forward.
There have been other celebrities that tried to move on from their chosen field. David Caruso comes to mind. Is there anyone else like that?
Well, my friends, I could think of many other people. There is Suzanne Somers. There is McLean Stevenson.
McLean Stevenson.
They decided that they were better than what they were, and what happened? They are selling pencils in the Reading Terminal right now, which
and yet,
is very, very sad.
And yet you stuck to radio, even though almost every day, television wanted you to come on as a guest or guest host, and you always said no. Do you remember that, or do you remember anything?
Yes, my friends, I remember people saying to me, Rush, I would wish to get back to TV. Well, my friends, my show is televised. Subscribe to my website, and you will see me on TV.
Rush Limbaugh in heaven, how do you feel about these two characters who have taken over your time period on smaller stations than WPHT?
Well, here's the problem, my friends. I mean, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, you know, they are trying to do their best. It could have been worse. They could have tried to replace him. They could have tried to replace me. I'm sorry, my friends. This cell phone's a little bit out there. The clouds are just moving along and causing some interference. So let me see if I can try this again. But they could have replaced me with David Lee Roth, and we know how that went. So thank God they didn't do that, and they went with Clay Travis and Mark Sexton. But if you move to the clouds a little bit, the best way of dealing with my absence is to move to a certain cloud and pick up 1210 WPHD and hear the great Dom Giordano replacing me. Dom is doing a great job, by the way.
Rush, you must be very tired trying to communicate from heaven. Thank you for joining Sterling on Sunday, and now Sterling every damn day. Do you know that as an act of Jesus, we're on the air every damn day? He's tired now, and he had to leave. Rush Limbaugh in heaven.
Everything is free. I used to be so careless, as if I couldn't care less. Did I have to make this mess when I was Mary's dream? Suddenly the heavens roar. Suddenly the rain came down. Suddenly was washed away. Mary that I and celebrate. I made such a big mistake when I was Mary's place. So if I say, save, save me, be the light in my eyes. If I say, save, Mary's, leave a light on in heaven for me. Blessed is the one who shakes.
I want to know, why is it that no WNBA players seem to have breasts? At first, I know you thought it was because they were all trans. None of them are trans. And then I know you thought that it was because they were lesbians. Most of them are not lesbians. Most of them are committed to men. Instead, I want to know, why is it that all the WNBA players that I can see are flat-chested. They don't have breasts. What is that about? 855-839-1210. That is my live telephone number. 855-839-1210. Hey, you know what? I don't have a call screener, but that's okay. You just tell me what I need to know. It's not a problem, because tonight we're experimenting with the terror of new technology. I won't explain it to you, because who needs that kind of nonsense? But it's a particular terror. Now, the other thing I have to discuss with you, besides the fact that why don't any WNBA players have breasts? Why is that? Because these are beautiful women with incredible skills, incredible brains, really smart. Where are their breasts? Have they been cheated? Or is that part of the uniform? Do they wear a suppressing bra? I went to look it up, and what did I learn? I learned this word, training bra. What? And then I flashed back to my youth, and I'm like, the first time I heard the phrase training bra, my imagination went insane. It went crazy. Like, what's that? I also learned some other words at the time. Bloomers. Field hockey. To a young man of a certain age, training bra, bloomers, field hockey. These were powerful aphrodisiacs, as if you needed any. This was a major distraction to our education. Many of us cut class to go watch the females on the playing field in school. We could study their technique, study what they did, because I never went to gym. I spent my entire high school career coming up with systems, plans, and ideas to persuade my mother, to bribe my mother to write the gym note. And oh my gosh, those were not emails. She had beautiful stationery and a fountain pen, and she wrote a perfect note. Please excuse Walter from gym today. I never knew what her excuse was. I never knew what she said as to why this was necessary with a perfectly healthy kid. But I wasn't going to go to gym. My best friend, also, we spent our entire high school career cutting gym. But we came up with the diabolical and brilliant method for cutting gym. I'll tell you it, and it's such a dork method, but it worked. We liked the dean of students, Mrs. Darney. Mrs. Darney was one of those very unusual administrators who you do not experience today in HR. She was one of those very unusual administrators who found a lot of things funny. She was amused by smart alecky kids like me and Charles Weissman. What would we do? We would go to Mrs. Darney's office and sit there through the gym period. And that's how we cut gym. We went in and hung out with Mrs. Darney. Who's going to look for you in the dean's office if you're cutting gym? Nobody. Least likely place. That's not where we were going to be. One day, we walk into Mrs. Darney's office, and she's got a big stack of green, tardy, absentee from class slips, a big computer-rated stack of us cutting gym. It says we didn't go to gym. She says, where are you supposed to be now? And we said, we're supposed to be in gym. And she took this stack and whacked it on her desk and threw it away and said, go Bill Bailey and sin no more. Now that's a great dean. Of course, then we didn't know what to do. We couldn't hang out in her office anymore. She knew. She was on to us. But it went on for a very long time. The other magic word was strip poker. Every kid in high school heard about strip poker games. There were two problems for me. One is I couldn't imagine who would do this with me, but the other thing is I had no idea how to play poker. That would have, in my stupid brain, that would have stood in my way of trying. We heard about strip poker games. We heard they took place at this person's house or this person's house, and there were a certain group of advanced young women who you really wanted to play strip poker with. I never got them confirmed. I never knew if there was a strip poker game, if it went beyond the sweater. Ah, you lost your sweater, her. Okay, I got to go home now. Yeah, I think it probably never went beyond the sweater. But we heard about strip poker games, bloomers, field hockey, training bras. Those were the linchpins, the tent poles of puberty. Once we were cutting gym, standing out by the field, and one of the gym teachers went by, and he looked at me and he said, where are you guys supposed to be now? What are you guys doing out here? What are you guys doing? And I said, we're waiting for Godot. Godot, he isn't in this gym class. Get out of here. Why didn't it work? You know, that was my fault. It was actually my fault. Son of a gun. All right, coming up, we have more fun for you. This is Sterling every damn night, live radio on a Sunday night.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by old guys.
The Babylon Bee, in tragic comedic fashion, captured the moment perfectly. Man ruled too senile to stand trial, still fine to run country.
All right, 888-688-9258, 888-688-9258, Sterling every damn night. Yeah, you and I are fascinated by the WNBA. An hour ago, we didn't know anything about the WNBA, we didn't care, but there are two things we know about. We know about Kate the Glue, Kate Martin, on the Aces team in Las Vegas, KXNT's team. And we know about Caitlin Clark, but we also know that these women seem to have no breasts. I'd like to know why they have no breasts. Why is it that no woman in the WNBA seems to have no breasts? And one of the facts that I know about women in the workplace, this is just a fact. Women in the workplace tend to be less nice to other women than they are to men. I have been in situations where a woman will just be savage about another woman in a way that no man would ever be. I believe that one of the biggest obstacles to women being successful at work is other women. Now I hear rumors and nonsense that women in the WNBA who should be kissing Caitlin Clark's flat chest don't like her. She's going to get them crowds, raises, bigger arenas, bigger benefits, better endorsements. Caitlin, thank you. But instead, there are a lot of women in the WNBA who just are jealous as hell.
The same pettiness, like these people are showing Skylar Diggins, that's going on to Caitlin Clark. But the problem with this is Caitlin Clark is probably one of the biggest women's basketball athletes we've seen in the past, and probably ever. Tell me if I'm lying. The Las Vegas Aces have announced a venue change for their July 2nd game against the Indiana Fever. The Ultra Arena, 12,000 seats. T-Mobile Arena, 20,000 seats. The team's preparing for a matchup with Caitlin Clark, who hasn't even been drafted yet. Like, we've never seen that from a woman. I ain't gonna lie, to this day, and I'm saying this because I'm biased, because I'm from North Carolina, I believe the NBA draft for Wemby was rigged. Yes, I'm biased. I'm from North Carolina. If it was rigged, I don't blame Adam Silver. I'm not gonna risk sending a potential person who could, like, be good for the lead once LeBron leaves to in Charlotte, who'll probably be fighting a RICO charge right now. Somebody like Caitlin Clark, if I'm the commissioner, I'm not gonna allow these old WNBA players to up what could bring more money to the league. They be hating on the young talent. Those are the same girls who are going to be the reason you don't have to fly Spirit no more. Yesterday, you could see, like, the jealousy during, like, the whole thing, the entire time, during the whole Iowa versus UConn game. Somebody tweeted, nah, the disrespect and negative energy for Caitlin Clark was there all night. Doesn't take much thought to know Teresi was referring to. I'm taking Paige. Next question. No analysis or context. Don't be obtuse. You know what's going on here. I f*** Paige Beckers, but you've been watching Caitlin Clark all season. You gonna sit here and say, you taking Paige Beckers number one over Caitlin Clark? Are you dumb?
Let's make a pizza. Let's make a pizza.
They're getting a bigger arena in Vegas when the Aces play against Caitlin Clark's team, because that will put Caitlin Clark against her former Iowa playmate, Kate Martin, otherwise known as the Glue. Ladies and gentlemen, you have just heard every single thing that I know about sports. There is no more.
Do you realize that because of you, this city is being overrun by baboons?
Well, isn't that the fault of the voters?
855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. I've had such a remarkable week. This week, we started every night from 9 to midnight on 1210 WPHT. Every night, 12 to midnight, on WPHT. Let's think about that. I've got some more information about that and some pretty cool stuff coming up in just seconds. You know what I want to hear right now? Sean, I want to hear Strippers on the Loose. Can we hear Strippers on the Loose now? Could you hit that for me?
Okay, sometimes when you go to the exotic dancing place, the lady shaking the goods for you is not going to veterinary school. She's not saving for a brand new car. She's not trying to figure out what's next in her life. Or a member of the ballet. A lot of times these gals are victims of human trafficking. Collin, Connecticut, the Electric Blue Cafe. Homeland Security goes in, does some raiding. They pick up three alleged perps, 67-year-old Kenneth Denning of Holland, Massachusetts, 41-year-old Joshua Baker, and 41-year-old William Mayo, Billy Mayo of Manchester, been charged with 12 criminal counts of human trafficking. The dancers are from Latin America. Now, here's what we do not know, but a lot of times, a lot of these folks who have come into our country over the last several years are abused. Women sometimes as exotic dancers or cleaners or prostitutes. The men, day laborers, roofers, etc. They're scared to talk to the cops because the cops likely will send them back to Medellin or Ponchachiku or whatever that is in the Peru, send him back to Ecuador. So, yeah, that's the deal. You know your friendly neighborhood gentleman's club. It's up to you, the consumer, to demand that our gentlemen's clubs only use legal American workers who want to work and who are begging to dance for you for money. From the Champagne Room, this is Velo Hool. Strippers on the Loose, Sterling at Night.
It's a live radio show, Sterling every night. It's 10:53 on the East Coast, 7:53 on the West Coast at KFBK. Welcome to Sterling every damn night. What does that mean? It means that WPHT, a 50,000-watt radio station that covers one-third of the country at night, has foolishly and surprisingly asked me to host from 9 to midnight, Monday through Friday. 9 to midnight, Monday through Friday. If you would like this station to air Sterling every damn night, all you have to do is torture the program director. Let the program director know that you believe that there should be quality entertainment from 9 to midnight rather than people yelling at the Democrats. Do I ever yell at the Democrats? No. Is this because I support the Democrats? No. It's because I think it's covered. I think there are more than enough incredibly skilled broadcasters yelling at the Democrat so that everybody knows everything they need to know about the errors of the Democrats. You don't need me to add to this. Instead, I'd like to talk about things that are important to us. Water in the basement, the check engine light, trouble at school with the kids. And because of this relationship that you and I have, Neil Paul, because of this relationship that we have, Billy Datz, Charlie Green, Rosemary Furlong, Dee Wells, Rebecca Canner, because of this relationship, when things happen and we need each other, we're there for each other, Leslie Kay, right? We're there for each other. And this week, I had a real problem. I'm in Philadelphia doing the show from 9 to midnight. I get out at midnight. I leave. I go to the street to my legally parked metered car. It's in a legal spot. I have fed the meter endlessly, seemingly 24 hours a day. And the car isn't there. And it's in Center City, Philadelphia, which means that it could have been stolen. It is a popular steal-it kind of car. That's the kind of car it is. Now, there are many layers of trouble with this. It is filled, the trunk is filled with my daughter's stuff from her dorm room at college. We had picked her up at college, loaded the trunk, let her go home in another car, and I borrowed her car to go to Philadelphia. To go to Philadelphia. I love Philadelphia. And the car is missing at midnight on a Thursday. Nobody's around. And I'm like, oh, geez, I got to get back to home, which is 20 miles away. And there's no public transportation at midnight. There's no easy way to get there at midnight. I'm not going to waste the money on an Uber for a $100 Uber ride. That's just not possible. I'm no longer a consultant. I'm a host. That means I have no money. When I was a consultant, it did much less work. You know, you really should consider these options. Why don't you sit down and review things with your afternoon drive host, and then let's get a more robust marketing budget. Thank you very much. Can we eat an expensive lunch now? Yeah, that was it. There was no more work as a consultant. Oh, yeah, that'll be $10,000 a month. And that's a small client. Okay, it isn't like that anymore. The financial burden of dealing with a disappearing car with my 18-year-old daughter, expecting her car back anytime soon, that was big. Frank Canal, operations director at WPHT in Philly, got me home. But what I had to do the next morning is unbelievable. I'll tell that with you in just seconds. Sterling every damn night.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Goblin.
Two Kansas City Chiefs were arrested and charged with marijuana possession. Oh my gosh, what is this, 1998? And why women athletes are flat-chested, plus the most popular baby names in Missouri and Kansas. Good evening. It's a live radio show. I'm Walter Sterling. Now, Dr. Dave, weather.
Sterling on Sunday. Coming up.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here, where packing for a vacation has been a two-month event.
For me.
I'll do mine the night before. We're only going to be gone 3 days.
Right, so all you need is one pair of underwear.
Tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari, and on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of the NYPD cop who failed to disclose his trip to Jamaica and subsequent arrest that came back to bite him in the butt. Coming up in moments.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
888-688-9258. Why don't women basketball players have breasts? Your calls now. 888-688-9258. And then, in Kansas and Missouri, we'll go over the most popular baby names. And then my favorite story, two Kansas City Chiefs offensive linemen have been arrested, charged with marijuana possession. Really? I thought marijuana possession was now not only encouraged, but you could get a doctor's note to say that it's a wonderful thing. In the network news, by the way, from CBS, also from 1998, they mention an explosion of a house west of Philadelphia. And because WPHT is our biggest and most important affiliate, although I love you all, I'm like, what town was this? Why wasn't there actual news committed there? Here's what it was. A couple from Chester County in Upper Oxford Township. Upper Oxford Township. Seriously injured as their home went up in flames. Fire crews said they responded to reports of a home explosion. Not a home invasion. A home explosion on Limestone Road in Upper Oxford Township. At about 9 this morning. The cause is still under investigation. A neighbor said, I just came right over. He watched as his neighbors were airlifted to Jefferson Memorial Hospital. A man and a woman, ages 70 and 75. Darn sure they were my listeners. He's known them for most of his life. They have been neighbors since I'm a small kid, said Mr. Blank, the neighbor. I grew up over here, and they've been here for 30 years. The sister of one of the victims lives just two houses down, and she said it was traumatic to see her brother and sister-in-law's home go up in flames. It just looked over and over and seen the walls popping out. It was a massive explosion. My gosh, it was leveled. It's just a charred mass. It was a big house that was in, let me give it to you again, because you're probably listening on WPHT, Upper Oxford Township. That's where the explosion was. The victims are still alive. They were taken to Jeff Memorial Hospital. I'm Walter M. Sterling. It's 11:10, 8:10 at KFBK. Kendall Aviva in Vegas. It's her birthday tomorrow. And therefore, I said, well, don't work tonight. Don't come on tonight. Take it easy. Enjoy the day. I am now on WPHT 1210 in Philadelphia, talk radio in Philadelphia, home of Rich Zeoli, Dom Giordano, and the morning guy whose name I cannot pronounce, and Greg Stocker. It is a phenomenal talk station. The fact that these guys think I should be on every night is incredibly flattering, and I will do everything I can to embarrass the crap out of them. I think I'm doing pretty good so far. My car was towed in front of the radio station at 2400 Market Street last week, and I get off the air at midnight. I go outside, no car, midnight. Thank gosh, Frank Canal, operations manager at WPHT, was still there and was gracious enough with Jim Kelly to drive me back to my relatives where I'm staying. It was incredibly nice of them. But then the next morning, at 9 a.m., I had to call somebody to get out of there in order to get the car, get it out of tow, and then get to work. And that's when we learned the difference between you and me, between midnight misfits and people who listen to morning zoos or wacky morning men. The relationship that I have with you is unique. It's unique in all of American media. No television newsman has this. No wacky weatherman has this. And no morning zoo meister has this. What a Midnight Misfit did for me was memorable. It'll be part of the lore of my life forever. And I'll share this story with you because it's worth hearing in just seconds. Sterling every night.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Captain Kangaroo.
You know, I'm kind of glad that Mr. Moose isn't here right now.
I just met this woman by the pool, and she only lives three towns away from us.
She said her daughter's a lesbian, too.
I said I need to go call my lesbian daughter and find out if she knows her.
Mom, I'm not going to know her daughter.
Well, she played soccer growing up.
Mom, I've told you before, just because someone else is a lesbian...
Her name's April?
Oh, yeah. If it's April Rendon, then I know her.
Yes, it is. Anyways, she just married the most beautiful woman.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in Space. Alien Life with Benefits.
With benefits, ladies and gentlemen. Why is it that no women in the NBA, WNBA, have breasts? What is the technical reason for this? When I searched this, all I got back were two words. Training bra. Training bra? Really? How spectacular. 888-688-WALT, 888-688-9258, that's my phone number, 888-688-WALT. I'm live, and I'd love to talk to you. We haven't talked in a while. I think this would be a very good time, because my life has changed. Now, Sterling Every Night is on when? Every night. Every night. It's on from 9 to midnight on 1210 WPHT in Philadelphia, and it would be on this station, too, if you let the management of this station say, we demand Sterling Every Night. We demand Sterling Every Night. We don't need to know about operating systems. We don't need to yell at the Democrats. We'd like to hear about life, maybe our life. We'd like to be able to call and actually get a call on the air. Rather than saying, oh, gee, we'll have to talk to you tomorrow night. But why is it that women in the WNBA don't have breasts? So I searched that, and I tried to find out an answer, like a real answer as opposed to a ha-ha-ha stupid guy answer. Well, there may be this answer. There is a hormone called leptin. Produced in the body that has to do with appetite. Its concentration is directly correlated to the amount of fat in the body. When a female athlete trains hard, such as for marathons, her body fat decreases to the point where leptin concentrations are unusually low. It is now believed that this decrease triggers our hormonal response that stops her from menstruating, and also because the body doesn't think it has enough strength to have a baby. This hormonal effect in itself may help explain to some extent how endurance female athletes tend to have smaller chests. In addition to this, if a female athlete starts training early, such as for Olympiads, they may actually never enter puberty. You may wonder why many of our Olympic female athletes have such high voices and small bodies. But once these athletes ease their training or stop training altogether, they enter puberty. Apparently, it has to do with this hormone leptin. And leptin is a source of how much they eat and all of this, and it affects breasts. Yeah, I think they wear binding bras. That's what I think. I think they purposely bind their bras so their breasts don't get in the way. Then there was another theory that I discovered, which is that it is believed that women who do have large breasts and try to play sports, it's so uncomfortable and it hurts and it's just not worth the trouble that they quit. They don't actually participate in sports. Only selection. It is the process of selection that only women with small breasts play sports by choice. 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. If you'd like to talk about the key issue of women in sports in the WNBA, they don't have breasts. They wear training bras. They can train in sports and manage their breasts at the same time. When I read that phrase, training bra, I knew we were in some very interesting territory, because to a kid, to me, when I was a kid, when I heard the phrase training bra, I'm like, what? What? Oh my gosh, what do they train? And then I heard about bloomers and field hockey. And we boys would watch girls in school playing field hockey, and we were fascinated by it. First of all, because we didn't understand it. We had no idea how anybody got a score in that. I spent my entire high school career cutting gym, and a lot of that had to do with swimming. There was no greater torture for most guys than swimming in high school. And I noticed that my kids in middle school, they still had to go swimming, which is so stupid. Please explain to me the benefit at 10, 10:30, 11 in the morning, getting all dressed up for school, getting ready for school, arriving at school, and then having to swim. They're sweaty. They never dry off enough. Their clothes are wet. It's uncomfortable. And it tires you out in the morning when you should be all excited about learning math and reading. It is so stupid. Every single phys ed program I've ever heard about in public schools is asinine and unnecessary. And then we have a fat country. Our country is fat. You and I hate to go to the gym. We hate to go to the health club. I say that it started in junior high. We were taught not to play games, not to enjoy athletics, not to feel the participation and joy of sports. We were taught to hate gym. We were humiliated in gym, embarrassed in gym, and there were four guys who were bigger than us, who were great at it. They were on the football team, the baseball team, the soccer team, whatever team it was. They did fine. But the rest of us were humiliated. When it was time to choose teams, and the head of each team would go up and down the line, I want him, put him on my team. Da, da. When it got to me, I was still sitting there. I was not picked last. I was picked by the gym teacher, who said, "Hey, Walter, you go with them." Oh, no. And then they'd all go, oh. I had no coordination and no understanding of any game. And then when it got to calisthenics and gymnastics, that was the seventh ring of hell. I could not do cat's cradle. I couldn't do the high bar, the parallel bars. None of those bars were available to me. The bar I was interested in was way after school, after college. Those were the bars I was interested in. But in junior high and high school, calisthenics, high bar, parallel bar, no thanks. And then the ultimate, second ultimate, the rope. To climb to the top of the rope, which I believe has finally stopped, it's no longer done. That wasn't going to happen. I could jump up once, grab the rope, and immediately fell down. There was no going up the rope twice. And it has all to do with upper body strength. It doesn't have to do with how much you weigh, it was upper body strength, of which I had none, and I'm left-handed. When in doubt, blame things on being left-handed. Gym was a horrible experience, but the ultimate. Now, what I'm going to tell you, people of a certain age, those under 40, they don't believe me. They don't believe me. I'm 41. People under 40 absolutely don't believe me. In public schools and the YMCA and many other institutions, young men had to swim naked. What? What? Jockstrap, swimming suit, Speedo? No, naked. We had to swim naked. Now, I thought this was a peculiarity of my school district. It was not. This was true across the country of public schools that had pools. I was told it was because of the filtration system, that our filtration system could not handle the fabric coming off of our swimsuits. Meanwhile, young ladies, they had swimsuits. What was different? I don't know. It's never been explained. And I wasn't suspicious of that explanation, although I thought it was pathetic, but I wasn't suspicious of it until I started doing this show. And I got to say this, and then I started hearing explanations from kids in other school systems, and they were all different. Every kid was told a different reason across the country as to why they had to swim naked in gym class in a public school. The stories were incredible, leading me to conclude that none of them were true, and that the reason young men had to swim naked is something that we should all be suing those school systems for now. The reason was suspicious at best. My phone number is 888-688-WALT. I take live phone calls, and I look forward to talking to you about the hot topic of why the hell did we have to have gym in public school? Why were we interrupted for an hour a day? We had to change clothes, get sweaty, get humiliated, get embarrassed, beg our mother for excuse notes, screw up our lunches. It's a great thing to do right before lunch or right after lunch is to sweat for an hour. What? And then stand in the shower and have the gym teacher throw towels at us. Naked. Again, I find it all pretty damn suspicious and would not happen today. Well, if it wouldn't happen today, then it wasn't a filtration problem, was it? That was not the goal. To save the filtration system was not the goal. 888-688-9258. 888-688-WALT. When you call, Sean will answer the phone. And he'll say, Sterling Show, like that. Or he'll say, congratulations for reaching the Walter Sterling Show. It's a whole environmental experience, and I get to be with you. But what happened to me last week when my car was towed, what a midnight misfit did for me is something you've got to hear. It does not happen with morning zoos. It does not happen with all news or TV anchors. It only happens when you and I are talking to each other, when you and I share this time on the radio, this remarkable event called spoken word talk radio. It is the last free form. It's the last progressive talk medium. It's the only thing on the air that doesn't have a script or get to the next thing or a topic list of rules. It's just us, 888-688-WALT.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by the Osborne family.
Do you know what it means when someone says based?
Bit.
No, based.
Bait.
B-A-S-E-D. Based.
Based.
Yeah.
That means cocaine.
Mum, what do you think it means?
I've got no idea.
Okay. It's person or opinion is one that is confident, free-thinking, and not influenced by the opinion of others. For example, I am based.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here, where packing for a vacation has been a two-month event.
For me.
I'll do mine the night before. We're only going to be gone 3 days.
Right, so all you need is one pair of underwear.
Tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari, and on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of the NYPD cop who failed to disclose his trip to Jamaica and subsequent arrest that came back to bite him in the butt. Coming up in moments.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688. WALT.
Sterling every night. Lesbians in space. Who
The perfect fit.
Who is she?
Well, if I told you that, then it wouldn't be a blind date, would it? But she is kind and loyal and has integrity. And she'll see you for the amazing person you are.
She sounds like a saint.
No, not a saint. Just someone who's tired of all the dating bit and isn't afraid to be her authentic self.
The CBS Radio Workshop.
Lesbians in Space. Alien Life with Benefits.
Jeff in Delaware at 888-688-WALT. You're live on the radio. Jeff, welcome to Sterling Every Night.
Thank you. I feel very welcome to be on your show. I enjoy it as much as I can. I'm 33 years older than you are, so I have a little bit different historical context, Mr. Sterling.
What is your historical context about phys ed?
Well, if you recall, and the year 1961, John Kennedy got to be president as one of the youngest presidents ever elected, and the president leaving office was an older, bald-headed war hero named Dwight Eisenhower, who was much, much older than John Kennedy, and Kennedy was trying to capture the American imagination. You know how politics will try to posture themselves to be popular. So as a young guy with a full head of hair and a youthful hobby of playing touch football, he hired Stan Musial, the famous St. Louis Cardinals Hall of Famer, to be the head of physical fitness for the nation. And he started a whole lot of interest in physical fitness, and it was picked up in the school systems, and there was a lot of what you'd call hoorah about physical fitness starting with that administration, and it just got more and more expanded. I remember I was 13 years old at the time that he took office, and I remember the change in the mood of the country, some for the good, some for the bad, but it was political, what you'd call theater in a way.
Did you have to swim naked?
Of course. And you know, the thing you spoke about, the rope, climbing the rope to a two-story building height, I had to do that with great trepidation because those ropes put you pretty far above the floor if you get up to the ceiling. That was scary to me.
Did you get up to the ceiling?
Oh, I could do it easily. I was blessed. I am not of American blood. I'm of a tribal group in Hungary.
All right,
so
I'm Hungarian. Listen, I'm Hungarian, too. I didn't think we had any genetic benefits from being Hungarian.
I'm Magyar, though.
But
I'm from the Carpathians. I'm from the Magyars.
Okay, I have no idea what that is. But listen, Jeff, stop. Jeff, why did they tell you you had to swim naked?
They never explained it. I just was a kid, like 13 years old, following orders, basically. I'm
were
kind
you
of
humiliated?
Ashamed to say that.
Were you embarrassed? Were you embarrassed? I was humiliated. It was the first time I realized I had a small penis and it wasn't going to improve. The whole situation was humiliating and embarrassing, but unnecessary. They told us it was because the boy swimsuits would clog up the filters of the pool, yet young women, they didn't seem to have problems with those.
Yeah, I agree with your position on it. That's one of the things that caught my attention about, you know, the beginning of your show when you started talking about that. And I'm not saying I approve of what happened. What I'm trying to contribute to the evening is to give you a kind of a historical context.
That it was a political. Thank you very much for the call. I really appreciate it, Jeff. It was a political movement promoted by John Kennedy to make all of America celebrate youth. It was quite something.
Being here is heavenly. Every single day she says, everything is free. I used to be so careless, as if I couldn't care less. Did I have to make this mess when I was Mary's dream? Suddenly the heavens roll. Suddenly the rain came down. Suddenly it was washed away. Mary that I knew. So when you find somebody you can
Crime on Sunday, inspired by an angry butcher.
There's over $10 million in beef in here. The best steaks in the country.
888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. We do have a new People of Walmart. I have it. I've seen it. Do you not have it? Did you not get one? Well, if you got the tees, then you'd have... Did you call Charlie and yell at him? Because he has it. Yeah. No. Don't play an old one. I will find it for you and send it to you because I know that Vila Hul went to the trouble of making a People of Walmart. I have no doubt. All right, it's 47 past the hour. This is Sterling every damn night. It's a technical challenge tonight. Every now and then we have to do the technical Olympics. It's all right. Now, I've been playing this song because at the moment I'm obsessed with it. Listen to a few bars, obsessed with it with me. It's one of those that you completely forget about, and then you hear it, and you go, I love that song. I made such a big mistake when I was Mary's girl. So if I say, save me, be the light in my eyes. If I say, save me.
Blessed is the one who shares your power and your beauty, Mary. Blessed is the millionaire who shares your wedding day. So when you find somebody you keep, think of me and celebrate. I made such a big mistake when I was Mary's friend. So if I say,
I tortured you enough with this. It is, I don't understand all the lyrics. Like when I was Mary's, what is he saying? Mary's friend, Mary's lover, but he doesn't say that. I think he's saying that he was Mary's prayer, which is pretty grandiose. Even for me, that would be pretty grandiose to say, I'm Mary's prayer. Is that what he's saying? Listen to this. Music appreciation.
Shake the tree too hard, bow is gonna break. If I can't reach the top of the tree, Mary, you can hold me up there. What I would give to be when I was Mary's prayer.
When I was Mary's prayer, is that what he's saying? That he was Mary's prayer? He's named Danny Wilson, a one-hit wonder from the 90s. One of those songs that clearly sounds like it's from the 90s. It's 50. It's such a stupid show. It's 50 minutes past the hour. You know, he should talk about more serious things. Really, it's 11:50 on a Sunday night. Who the hell wants to hear anything serious? We just want to get from the weekend to the workday painlessly. There is pain that's associated with the weekend. And now it comes true as the summer months arrive, because right about now, the scariest thing happens. You start to go to the pool. You start to play tennis. Go down the shore to the lake. And you start to see your significant other or your wife or both in sunlight, which is different light than you got married by or that you fell in love to. It's a more honest light, and you're watching the woman you married walk toward you on the beach in the one piece, And you're like, oh my God, that's why I'm married? Really? And part two is there's no escape. You're married and you're not going to get a divorce. I have a personal belief, a strong personal belief, that everybody has a marriage clock. And if you get married before your clock goes off, that marriage isn't going to work, no matter how beautiful or how handsome he is, or both. And if you wait until your marriage clock goes off and you're sure that you're ready, then whoever arrives from your higher power, that marriage is going to work because you're ready. It's not who you marry. It's not how beautiful, smart, rich, clever they are. No, it's are you ready? I was so blessed. Throughout my very young life, I had terrific monogamous relationships with really wonderful young women. And they would be terrific wives for anybody. And I believe they are, although I don't keep track. But I was not ready. And I can look back on those relationships and go, what was I thinking? Why didn't I marry her or her or her? Well, the reason that I didn't marry them was because I am married to the woman I'm supposed to be married to. She has an extraordinary sense of humor. She's very patient. And she understands that all radio stories end poorly. But as a result of this marriage, I have three great daughters. I can't believe how cool my daughters are. And I have nothing to do with their coolness. I have a 21-year-old who just got through Syracuse University at the Newhouse School, the prestigious Newhouse School, which graduated Bob Costas and Ed Hirsch. And my 21-year-old is at a prestigious college and doing really well. And I have a 12-year-old who has all kinds of challenges that she overcomes with grace and poise and humor. Just a great kid. People like her and they meet her. I had nothing to do with this, but it wouldn't have happened if I hadn't waited until I was ready. And when that marriage clock went off with me and I met Katie, we have a great marriage. We don't always admit it to each other. And a lot of the reason we have a good marriage is that we do not go shopping together. The wackiest thing I see in the supermarket, in Kroger's, in Kroger's and Aldi's, the wackiest thing I see is married couples shopping together. And every time I pass a married couple shopping together, I whisper to the guy, I go, always shop alone. And he laughs, except once. The guy was ready to beat me up. Other than once, though, every time I go, always shop alone, they nod and they're like, yeah, buddy, you're right. I should shop alone. Because what happens? Do we really need this? Do we need that big a can? Oh, no, you're not going to eat that. Oh, that's garbage. Who's going to make that? Sure, you can buy it. Who's going to make it? I'm not going to make it. There's no peace between a couple that shops together. Now, let me tell you the great thing that happened to me last week. My car was towed. And then I had a problem, which was the next morning, even though Frank Canal took me home, how the heck was I going to get 25 miles into Center City, Philadelphia without public transportation or car or anything? At 9 o'clock in the morning, I called a midnight misfit. I called a midnight misfit, Neil Paul, who got engaged to Judy on Sterling on Sunday. They got engaged on the air, sweet as could be, nicest couple you could ever imagine. They tolerate each other. They were ready to get married. I call Neil up and I say, here's the situation. I need to get into the city. I need to get to the tow. I don't know where the tow is. I need to pick up my car and then drive to work, blah, blah, blah. Before I could explain anything, he said, where are you? Like a grown-up, like a father. Dad energy entered the room because I'm idiot energy. Dad energy enters the room. And he shows up when he says he's going to show up, takes me to the pound. We sit there and he waits until my car is beyond the hurricane fence, beyond all the citations and the receipts and all the nonsense. He takes me out of there and guides me to work. And before we did that, he took me to lunch. He took me to a real Jewish deli in Philadelphia. There can't be anything greater. You know, because it was packed. I still say the way you know if a restaurant is good is if it's packed, if you can't get in. And every day I can get in fewer and fewer. My prestige is vanished. Like, who? What? Thank you, Neil Paul. But that's the difference between talk radio, you and me, and morning zoos, light ACs, light FMs, light this, sunny, magic, Jack. This is the magic of radio, talk radio. Sterling, every night.
10 years of OK Radio, repulsive to the talk radio community. Billie Eilish fashions, courtesy of Idaho. Tonight, lesbians, strippers, and other ratings grabbers. I'm your announcer, James Goblin.
Coming up in just seconds, Dave Scott will reveal the secrets of Mars, the moon, and the UFO secret hiding program. Plus, did you have to swim naked in public school for phys ed? What a horror. Dr. Dave, your weather.
Sterling on Sunday, coming up.
Dan and Becky Gaffney here, where packing for a vacation has been a 2-month event.
For me.
I'll do mine the night before. We're only going to be gone 3 days.
Right, so all you need is one pair of underwear.
Tonight on Sterling on Sunday.
Hi, I'm retired New York City Police Detective Vic Ferrari, and on this week's episode of Confessions of a Retired NYPD Detective, I tell the story of the NYPD cop who failed to disclose his trip to Jamaica and subsequent arrest that came back to bite him in the butt. Coming up in moments,
Willie Sutton's biological, perhaps, grandson, perhaps, people in Walmart later, Sterling at night.
Tonight, and you on the toll-free line, 888-688-WALT.
Sue, welcome to Sterling every damn night. How you doing, Sue?
I'm doing fine. I'm still laughing about your use of the word monotonous to describe your relationships.
They had the potential to be monotonous while being monogamous.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Yeah, so I was going to tell you, you know, gym class was just as bad for girls as it was for boys.
Why?
We did not have a pool or anything, but just a whole shower thing. You know, when you're like 14, 15 years old, you know, not all of us develop, so to speak, at the same rate. So if you're someone who is further behind on the developmental scale, you know, you're going into the locker room, you have to take showers with these girls that are, you know, like look like women, but you still don't have anything, you know, that you still look like a boy, so to speak.
Sue, I always wondered about the girls' showers. Did you have individual shower stalls or were they like prison showers?
It was like Lord of the Flies, Walter. It was like one big room. I didn't want to go in there. I did everything I could to get out of it.
Would your mother give you a pass to get out of gym?
No, I don't think so. I don't think she did that. I think I had to fake something, you know. Well, if you were a girl, you could say you were having your period or something like that. That would get you out of it.
That worked.
Yeah.
Did you hear the show? I appreciate this information. Did you hear the show during the week?
I don't know if I heard everything. I tuned in some, but I, you know, like...
That's all right. That's all right. I just want to know, want to make sure you knew that we were on 9 to midnight on WPHT 5 days a week. It's a shock to Dom Giordano, let me tell you.
Is it? Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, it's a shock. It's like, really? He's walking around the hall shaking his head. He's saying, really? Sue, you're the best. Thank you very much for calling Sterling every night. David in California. David disconnected. Therefore, we get to spend quality time with the great Dave Scott. Dave Scott, conspiracy theories, new information. What do you have for us from the outer space world?
Well, let's start on planet Earth, Mr. Walton. By the way, I hope you had a wonderful weekend once again. How about the Vatican hosting a press conference to talk about paranormal, supernatural, and extraterrestrial phenomenon? This happened this past Friday, where the cardinals got together and felt it was time to update the public and the Catholics around the world, 1.35 billion of them, to say, hey, there may be times when you're actually talking to dead people. There may be times when you're actually seeing aliens and UFOs in the sky, and that the phenomenon is uncontrollable, but something that needs to be respected by all parties involved, that you must use discernment in deciding whether or not you're actually talking to Aunt Mabel, who died 42 years ago, or if you're talking to something more sinister.
Was the Pope in these meetings, or was this his underlings?
This was the Pope's underlings, but Pope Francis does have a history of going into Gnostic Catholicism. A number of years ago, Walt, the Pope actually had a conference where he was asked about extraterrestrials coming to Earth, where he said that if any extraterrestrial or alien life is visiting Earth or comes to Earth, we would be more than happy, as the Catholic brothers, to baptize them into the name of the Lord.
Can you imagine an alien being baptized, thinking that that was a good idea? That it's just such a wacky theory. Dave Scott, Far Out Radio, thank you for being on Sterling on Sunday. This is Sterling every damn night.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Scarlett Johansson.
Are you eating the Cheerios or what? And she was like, ah, it's Mama on the box. And I was just like, oh, she'll eat the Cheerios.
It's the people of Walmart on Sterling at night.
Willie Sutton famously said that he robbed banks because that's where the money is. Well, Walmart's the largest billing company in the entire world. Not just the U.S. of A., not just the USA and Canada, the entire world. And yes, there is a Willie Sutton because he robbed three Walmarts in a matter of a couple of weeks in the upstate area of South Carolina. Kylie Alston. He's old enough to know better. Apparently, allegedly, he went into several Walmarts doing stick-ups. Mr. Alston did the bank robber bit by handing a note to the poor people at Walmart saying, this is a stick-up, give me all your money. The success of Walmart has created perhaps a cottage industry of crime. More people are going into the Walmarts. There's people in the parking lot constantly. There are people living in the parking lot of Walmarts in many places. A lot of Walmarts have trucker parking. And so the truckers are there, and, well, you know, sometimes lot lizards go through there. Yeah, lot lizards. It means ladies that are looking for love for money. Yeah, happens at the Walmart. In South Carolina, they say, don't rob our Walmart. We love it. Kylie Alston, he's probably going to jail, allegedly. For the people of Walmart, this is Velo Hool, Sterling at Night.
888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. Did you go through the horror of phys ed, of gym? I always believed that boys had it much, much worse. I figured girls had individual shower stalls that they could skip for dozens of different pretend reasons. But there were two things that were horrible for us. The rope, because you had to have upper body strength and no fear of heights to climb to the two-story high rope. And in swimming, boys swam naked. This was true of every public school in America and the YMCA. Why? The problem is that every reason why is different with every school system. A smart guy in Chicago filed a lawsuit, or threatened to, because he said, wait a minute, this was abuse. This was inappropriate. There was no reason for boys to be swimming naked. And I used to believe the official reason given by my school district in New Jersey, which was that it would clog up the suits fabric could clog up the filtration system. The entire enterprise of gym in school, in junior high and high school, was just horrible. Unless you were the 5% that was actually a good athlete, it was terrible. Because even if you're an almost good athlete, you're not good at every sport. There were five kids who were good at every sport. They were usually kids who were kept back a grade, so they were bigger than the rest of us. Remember those kids? They were huge. And they could kill you with their thumb, and they would, just for the hell of it. Bullying, what are you talking about? Bullying was encouraged at that time. It was horrible. The whole process was crazy. Here it is. You get dressed all nice for school. Maybe it's cold outside. You're dressed warmly. You got a lot of layers on clothes because you got a real mother. A lot of layers of clothes. And you had to take off your clothes, put on a stupid gym outfit that stank because you never remembered to take it home to be washed, ever. And then you had to do cat's cradle, parallel bars, push-ups, pull-ups, dodgeball, the rope. It sounds like a list of tortures from medieval times, and it was. Did it teach collaboration, teamwork? No, it did not. You got picked for a team or not, and then you were embarrassed forever. It was a horrible experience. I always imagine that it was better for girls because they could say, I'm not doing it, and that would be okay. If I said, I'm not doing it, I'd be made fun of by the gym teacher, not just the other guys. I'd be made fun of by the gym teacher. There was no worst experience. Finally, when I was like in 11th grade and I had good grades, I said to my mom, look, I do no drugs. I haven't been arrested. I'm causing you no trouble. My grades are good enough. Please write gym excuses. And she did. On the crane paper with the fountain pen. Remember those, moms? Remember that time? Not an email, not a scrap of paper on the back of a lunch bag. No, no. This was very nice. And my mother would get me out of gym a lot. It was horrible experience. There was no good. And I say that a lot of the reason you and I don't want to go to the health club today is because of the trauma of going to gym in high school. 888-688-WALT, 888-688-WALT. I also thought about who is a gym teacher? Who volunteers for that work? You're not smart enough to teach English or math. You're smart enough to teach junior high gym. What kind of athlete were you that you wound up teaching public school, junior high, middle high gym? These were below the other teachers. I suspect other teachers would not associate with gym teachers, with phys ed teachers. I'll bet you that if you were a gym teacher in a public school, the English teacher, the head of the English department, the head of the math department, wanted nothing to do with you, would have nothing. Maybe worse was a shop teacher. The saddest thing to me is realizing that now, if you're in middle school or high school and you're a boy or a girl, if they offer home ec, if they offer cooking, boys or girls can take it. When I was in school, no, boys and girls couldn't take it. It was for girls or boys. And what did I learn in wood shop? Now, that was something, wasn't it? There was Mr. Voss, a huge man, and he was in charge of the wood shop. If you aren't familiar with the wood shop, let me explain to you. We went into a place with buzz saws, giant saws, drills, drill presses, big hammers, wooden workbenches. This was an industrial classroom. And what did we learn to do? We learned to make a birdhouse that I could buy at Walmart today for $8. We learned to make a birdhouse or a tray. We had a choice of a tray or a birdhouse. And the tray was two pieces of wood that had to be glued together, sanded, and stained. I didn't understand staining. I thought that the wood trays that were dark, and not a pine color, but dark, were actually dark wood. That it was actual dark wood. And I made my poor father go up and down Route 22 to Channel Lumber and Rickles looking for dark wood. There is no dark wood. We finally found one. It was like cherry wood. But it was only one. It was incredibly expensive. He said, are you sure this is what you want? Are you sure this is what you need? It didn't occur to him that his son was so stupid he didn't know about staining the wood. Everybody else brought in, you had to bring in your own wood. Everybody else brought in the bleach pine color plywood, the cheap plywood. And then when they were done gluing it together and putting it in the wood press, then they would stain it. And that's how it got its color. Oh, that's how it got its color. Oh, I didn't know. I didn't know. I was not raised in a factory. And it was a miserable experience. And then everybody got a C. That's what that phys ed teacher did. He gave everybody a C. If you brought in your sneakers, everybody got an A in gym. It was unbelievable. Did you hear this football player genius who gave a talk at a commencement at a Catholic school? Did you hear the trouble this has caused? Listen.
How many of you are sitting here now about to cross this stage and are thinking about all the promotions and titles you are going to get in your career? Some of you may go on to lead successful careers in the world, but I would venture to guess that the majority of you are most excited about your marriage and the children you will bring into this world. I can tell you that my beautiful wife, Isabel, would be the first to say that her life truly started when she began living her vocation as a wife and as a mother. I'm on this stage today and able to be the man I am because I have a wife who leans into her vocation.
Here are five things I do to help my husband get ready for work in the morning. I set my alarm to wake up before him. Then I can get his shower on and warming before I wake him for the day. I make his coffee, enough to drink at breakfast and to take to work with him. I get his lunch ready, and I make sure it's something nice and hearty, like dinner from the night before, so he has a healthy meal in the middle of the day. I gather all the things he takes to work with him, including his satchel, lunch bag, a full water bottle, his sunglasses, and keys. And then I make his breakfast, usually something really delicious and packed with protein. Why do I do these things for my husband? Another reel on that is coming soon.
Those are five things she does for her husband, who she loves. And this football player, and we always go by football players in America, is saying that the high point of a woman's life will be to make the home and be a mom. He has gotten all forms of hell for this, including the nuns at the Catholic college where he gave this commencement as a Catholic to a Catholic college. And I wonder if they had to approve his commencement speech. Now, let me tell you, my daughter just graduated from Syracuse University. I would have rather have heard that speech from the stupid football player than what I had to hear, which I could not understand one word. The commencement speech at Syracuse University was from the mayor of Florence, Italy. What? From the mayor of Florence, Italy. Oh, my gosh.
Do you want to know how simple guys are? Guys want just three things. Just three things. They want attention. Physical touch, talk to them, anything. They want reassurance of your feelings for him. Because they have trust issues, too. Just tell them how you feel. You can do this once a day, but just do it. They want you to be happy. Literally want you to be happy. It's not about us. When you smile, they smile. If the girl is happy, the guy is happy.
There was a time before the President Nixon wage price freeze where it was economically simple for one person in the household to support the household, man or woman. Husband or wife could support the household. It was simple. The wage price freeze from the Republican president made that impossible to this day. Sterling every night.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Judge Shapiro.
I was looking up the names of the eight. I'm so angry that we're even in this situation at this point in time.
I'm Dan Gaffney.
And I'm Becky Gaffney.
We're here on Sterling on Sunday to tell you about life with eight kids in a very old house.
Where this week we get to take a vacation from the old house with the kids.
Yes, a vacation that was going to be a little longer, but now is really a mini vacation. But yet my wife here is packing for, how long have you been packing? 2 months.
It's probably been 2 months, yes. Mm-hmm. What's wrong with that? What is wrong with that?
It's the day before. You grab your stuff and you go.
Okay, babe. So, first of all, we have to have car snacks. We have to have the things prepared for the car, for the trip, the way down for all of the kids. Then we have to have the things for in the hotel when we get there.
Right.
Because we have everybody all together in one suite. That's a lot. Besides the fact that we need clothes for if it's sunny, clothes for if it rains, clothes for if it's a little bit cold. Now, what you do when you do those things is you don't pack like different outfits for all of those things, but you pack things that you can layer and you can use together so that you can pack less.
Here's what we have, too. Everything is packed in laundry baskets.
That's right. There are four laundry baskets sitting in the hallway that have said vacation on them. And anything that the kids want to take that they think should go in the vacation stuff, they're supposed to put in there for me to later organize.
There are packs of toothbrushes in there, snacks, clothing I've never seen before.
Well, because who wants to take, you know, the old toothbrushes? I buy new toothbrushes. I buy new socks because ultimately I don't want the boys' stinky, nasty socks like being shoved in there at the last minute.
Okay.
I just will get new packs of socks for. I have one pack for all the big feet, like all the guys.
Right.
I have a pack that'll fit the two middle kids.
But in none of this, do I have a laundry basket?
Well, you have your hair gel is in there. Your moisturizer is in there. There's a comb for your little hairs because we'll get there and you'll be like, I should have brought a comb. Oh, I need some scalp care. I have that stuff in there for you. I have socks in there and I have underwear just in case you need them.
You don't have underwear in my underwear.
I do. Because they're new underwear, honey. That's why you don't know. Because I bought little, you know, small packs of each of those things like that. Why is this stressing you out?
Because now I'm only learning about it. This affects what I'm going to pack the night before.
No, it doesn't. Because your bag will be a little separate bag that you'll throw on your back, carefree in your little red Converse, floating out the door whistling, not caring about anything. But if you forget things, I have your rear end covered.
All right. It's going to be a great time. We're going to have a great time.
As we always do. And we are never underprepared.
Follow me on Facebook, Dan Gaffney Show.
If you're looking for me, I'm on Instagram as Just Being Mom.
Sterling every night. That's right. Now Sterling is on every night from 9 to midnight on WPHT. What an honor to be with you. But there was a sweet time. It was not better or worse. But if you listen to this Harrison Butker, this is what he said at the commencement ceremony. And then what I'm going to tell you I think about it is true.
How many of you are sitting here now about to cross this stage and are thinking about all the promotions and titles you are going to get in your career? Some of you may go on to lead successful careers in the world, but I would venture to guess that the majority of you are most excited about your marriage and the children you will bring into this world. I can tell you that my beautiful wife, Isabel, would be the first to say that her life truly started when she began living her vocation as a wife and as a mother. I'm on this stage today and able to be the man I am because I have a wife who leans into her vocation.
I am a father who leans into my vocation, which is to be a dad. I'm not a baby daddy. My pronouns are father and him, or father and sir. Those are my pronouns. My life began when Dorothy, age 21, showed up, a blessing from my wife and from God. She is my blessing. I believe that many, if not all, homes were better off with one person earning a living, going out, gathering food, nuts, beef, and the other person staying at home, making a home. I do not think it mattered if it was mom or dad. I think a home works better if one parent, one member, is home. And that doesn't mean they don't work at all. They can work. But I believe the most exalted career, the most valuable career, the career with the greatest role, is that of parent, mother or father. There are many successful homes where dad stays home. Mom earns a living by choice, not by dictate, not by culture, but by choice. When one parent is home, I believe, in my experience, from what I've seen, those are more stable, happy homes. And besides, my mom made the best damn egg salad for lunch you could ever imagine. Sterling every night.
Sterling on Sunday, inspired by Judge Judy.
You have nice people who invite you for Thanksgiving dinner a month in advance, and then you spring on them the morning that you're coming. We have to bring the dog. It's wonderful with babies. It's wonderful. It doesn't even bark. Do you understand? That's real gall. That's real gall. I'm saying this to the tens of millions of people who will watch this program in repeats, originals, whenever, when I'm long gone. If you're invited to someone's home for an event, and especially if it's a stranger, don't bring or ask to bring your dog.
Sterling every night. Study books, rusty books. Get cozy with the Owl and Dawn.
I'm Smutty Book author Thea Landon, and here's an excerpt from my book, Hunting Astrid. Oh, wow, Tabitha whispered when the doors opened again. A field of lush green grass stretched out before them, dotted with hundreds of blooming flowers. Narrow paths wound throughout the gardens, flanked by wooden benches and leafy trees. On the roof, the sounds of the space station were far below them, and nothing impeded their view of the infinite specks of light dotting the sky. Tabitha stepped forward and crouched at the edge of the paved trail. This is incredible. She ran her fingers through the blades of grass. I never would have guessed this is up here. We've got to do the best we can with our limited space. Astrid stood behind her. Our little world here can often feel cramped and crowded, so I sometimes come up to the sky garden to clear my head. Frowning, she rubbed her nose. Probably not as often as I should. They strolled down the path, following its curve around a patch of purple pansies. Rather than sitting on one of the benches, Tabitha plopped in the grass and leaned back on her hands. Astrid sat beside her with her knees to one side, resisting the urge to yank down her short skirt. There's no one else around. Might as well get comfy. Tabitha lay down, her black hair fanning around her head. Patting the space next to her, she looked up expectantly. She slid closer and reclined onto the soft grass, keeping her ankles crossed. From this vantage point, she could pretend the thick, translucent dome encasing Zeta 16 didn't exist, and nothing separated them from the rest of the universe. At times, she'd felt isolated and alone on the distant space station. Tonight, she was grateful to be able to share the magnificent view with someone else. Tabitha's voice interrupted her moment of reflection. This is nice. She scooted over, her shoulder grazing Astrid's. I don't know how the whole job application process is going to pan out, and I know you don't want to talk about work, so I won't elaborate there.
but no matter what the end result is, I'm glad I came here and have met you. Likewise. She rolled onto her side, propping herself up on one elbow. I thought I'd seen and experienced most of what the galaxy has to offer. With one finger, she traced the line of Astrid's jaw, tilting her head in her direction with the lightest of touches. Looks like I still have a lot left to explore. Despite the quieter environment of the Sky Garden, there was a greater sense of urgency in their second kiss. Tabitha's tongue plunged into her mouth, probing into hers with force. Astrid shifted to align her body with the other woman's, circling one arm around her waist. The heat between them intensified, whisking the air from her lungs. Craving more contact, she tightened her embrace, sending their hips into a vigorous collision. A low chuckle rumbled from Tabitha's throat. She nibbled at Astrid's lower lip, tugging at it with her teeth. Astrid slid her hand up her spine to thread her fingers through her silky hair, unwilling to relinquish her hold. It had been so long since someone had kissed her so deeply, and she wanted to commit the feeling to memory. Tabitha's palm skimmed down her side, leaving a fiery trail over her ribcage and lingering at the curve of her hip. Little by little, her hand inched lower. When her fingers snuck beneath the hem of her dress and grazed the bare skin of the back of her thigh, Astrid jolted. A haze of lust clouded her head. Something held her back. She pulled away, breaking the kiss. Wait a minute, she stammered, breathing heavily. I think I need to stop there tonight. But if you find yourself needing more, that was an excerpt from my book, Hunting Astrid, which is available at Amazon. I'm smutty book author, Thea Landon.
I got a text here from Gary X. Gary X. As so many people believe, Walter, I listened to you one night last week on WPHT Philadelphia and thought there was something wrong. Yes, as you listen tonight, I'm sure you will feel that there is something wrong. But shockingly, David Yadgaroff and the management of WPHT, Frank Canal, Greg Stocker, collectively got together and said, Let's make a joke on Philadelphia radio. Let's put Sterling on every night. And it was so. Sean and Jim Kelly still can't believe it's so. 9 to midnight every night on WPHT for a very long time. Don't know how long because it's show business. It could end in an hour. Could end in an hour if they have no sense of humor. But they do have a sense of humor. And listen, I know this will sound like my butt is way up there. No, my nose. It'll sound like my nose is way up there, but it's not. I have been in radio a very long time. A very long time. And I know good management. When I walk in the door, I can feel it. I can feel the energy of a radio station. The second I walk in the door, I know if it's a happy place or not. When WABC was owned by its prior owner, the first time I guest starred on WABC in New York, I opened the door and I was greeted by a very large producer. And my greeting, my onboarding at WABC was, "You better not give me any more effing work." That's what the producer said. And then during a break, I went into the control room and said, "Hey, guys, so, you know, how's it sound?" And I noticed then that the control board operator was playing Candy Crush while I was on the air. And he did not look up, but he said to me, "Well, you're no worse than Sid." Those were my greetings at WABC. My greetings at WPHT from Frank Canal are, "What else do you need? What can we do for you?" From the sales manager, "What can we barter for you? You need a new suit? No, I need a Kia is what I need. They were all great. Could not have been more helpful, positive, professional. And when everybody around you at work is professional, you want to do a better job, which is hard for me since I have such a, you know, a low bar. But I'll try. Anyway, I'm very grateful. So, yes, I'm on 9 to midnight every night at WPHT 1210 Philadelphia, 1210WPHT.com. If you want to hear the stream until the station you're listening on is wise enough to say, we really should get that show, that Sterling show, we should. And there's Billy Datz. In New Jersey, my buddy Billy Datz, a great fan, a good friend, what I can tell, a great family man who has a tattoo of the state of New Jersey on his arm. I'm from Jersey. I get it. You might be offended, but I get it. And Billy Datz and the whole Datz family, welcome. It's a great joy to be with everybody tonight, and the greatest gift you and I can receive is a request for help.
And that was this week's Walter Sterling Show. Thanks for listening. We appreciate it so.
Join us next week at 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific, for another Walter Sterling Show.
My classroom should be as well air-conditioned as your favorite bar.
Join us next week at 10 Eastern, 7 Pacific, for another Walter Stern Show.
Next Sunday, all right? Right. Stay bright.